If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
There's no time to kill between the cradle and the grave. Father, time still takes a toll on every minute that you save. Legal tender's never gonna change the number on your days. The highest cost of living's dying, that's one everybody pays. So have it spent before you get the bill.
Welcome to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Inside Tennessee is sponsored by the Tennessee Action Council, an educational organization dedicated to restoring constitutionally limited government and the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great. Visit our website at tn4action.com. That's tn4action.com. The phone number to call in and join the conversation is 718-305-7176. That's 718-305-7176. We have two great guests lined up for you tonight. The first one in the chute will be Dr. Bill Warner. He is the foremost authority in Tennessee, if not in the country, on the threat of Islam. And believe me, Islam is a threat. And so we're going to be talking with Bill in just a minute about Muslim persecution of Christians, something that gets absolutely zero airplay most places and no print for all practical purposes. And then a little later on, we're going to be talking with Jackie Archer from the Tennessee Textbook Advocate Committee, and she's going to tell us about what's going on with the textbooks in Tennessee, and she's going to talk about her new publication, The Textbook Tattler. So I appreciate you listening in, and without any further ado, we're going to go to our guest, Bill Warner. Bill, thank you for being with us, and we've got a lot of ground to cover, so I'll just go ahead and I'll just introduce it this way. What is it that we're not hearing about Muslim persecution of Christians in the Middle East?
Well, first off, we're not hearing about it anywhere, but the thing that galls me the most is that we're not hearing about the persecution of Christians in the churches. Now, you would think, if you thought about it much at all, that the most upset people in the world about Christians being murdered in the Middle East and in Africa would be Christians here in America. But their attitude about all of this can be it's summarized in denial. It's not something we want to talk about. And so the church in America is complicit with all of this suffering that's going down in the Christian world. And by the way, it's not just the Christians who are suffering under Islam. The Buddhists are suffering. There are Buddhists killed in Burma and in Thailand every week. There are Christians killed in the Philippines, and there are Hindus. Actually, the most deaths per year under jihad come from actually the Hindu world. So I think as humans we need to be concerned about it all. But the fact is that, I mean, and the other thing that just galls me is that when they do have to talk about some persecution of Christians, it doesn't connect any dots. That is, it's kind of like, well, gosh, I mean, it's like 9/11. Well, I just came out of nowhere and went to nowhere. You know, I mean, there's been 22,000 jihad attacks since 9/11, as documented in the religionofpeace.com. And I have never seen an article in any of the media that says, you know, Mumbai, 9/11, the bombing in Boston, they're all part of the same thing. It's always, gosh, who knew this would happen? Wow. Well, and they don't want to talk about the Islam, and yet they will not connect any dots. And yet, if you do know Islam, it's like, well, hello, they're all executing the same game plan. The same game plan that's been going on for 1,400 years.
I mean, and Ray Charles could see that.
Huh?
Ray Charles could see that. If you just read anything about it at all, you know. I want to go a little further with the point you just made. They are all reading from the same playbook. And a lot of people don't realize is when you look on the news and you see some photos, some videos of the Taliban, okay, mm-hmm. people that most people will acknowledge they are 7th century. They are evil. Most people acknowledge that.
Yes.
There is absolutely no difference that the ideology of the Taliban and the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood in America that have been appointed by our president. Now, they probably, I'm assuming, are a little cleaner, and they certainly dress better, and they speak better English,
shoes.
And they're yeah. But there is absolutely, they're interchangeable. Other
well,
than
they have
that,
different.
They have the same
ideology.
They both
believe in jihad. They both believe in the destruction of all civilization other than Islamic civilization. They both want to bring about the caliphate, which is one supreme ruler of the world. And maybe that's the job Obama's going for. So they all believe that jihad is the way, and it is the highest manifestation of a Muslim's life. It's just the different ways they go about it. But their goals are the same. Their methods differ slightly, but they're all about the same. But even their methods don't differ as much as you might think. I mean, when you look and see what the Muslim Brotherhood did to Christians in Egypt, you can't tell them from the Taliban. Now, in America, they wear nice shoes. They're professional engineers or something like that, or college professor, and they wear nice shoes.
Or doctors.
Yes. Oh, yes. The Muslim Brotherhood, as a matter of fact, tends to be, you know, there is one distinction. The Muslim Brotherhood have a veneer of civilization. If you pick at the veneer, you'll discover it's the same 7th century ideology that the Taliban has. Actually, I prefer the Taliban because, you know, they're more honest. They're less deceitful. So I prefer
exactly.
The Taliban to the Muslim Brotherhood, unlike our governor.
Yeah. Well, remind everybody just a little bit about our governor on that issue, if you don't mind.
Well, what we have here is, let's talk a wee bit about the Muslim Brotherhood. Its origins are in Egypt, and it is the brain. It's interesting, but Egypt is sort of the brain trust of the Islamic world. And after the caliphate, well, after the Ottoman Empire fell, Islam's face was rubbed in the dirt by the European colonialists. They came into the Middle East, started drilling for oil, and just sort of by their own means dividing up into what they call nations. And so the origins of the Muslim Brotherhood are inside of what they see as the complete abject humiliation of Islam. And so they needed to get a way back to it. And so, by Jove, they came up with the brilliant concept of the Muslim Brotherhood, which means superficially on the surface, they look like us, and superficially they may even talk like us. But in their heart is jihad and a will to destroy all other civilizations except that of Islam. So that's the beginning of the Muslim Brotherhood, and it has prospered well. Here's the thing about, before we get to talking about Haslam and the Muslim Brotherhood, let's talk a little bit about his older brother, Obama. Because Obama, well, I think Governor Haslam would. Because Obama's first foreign speech was in Egypt at Al-Azhar University. And Mubarak said, okay, great, we're happy to see you here. This is a wonderful thing. This is really great, but no Muslim Brotherhood. Obama insisted upon the Muslim Brotherhood not only coming to the talk, he set them down front. All right, so that's how wired in the Muslim Brotherhood is into America. It goes to the very top. There have been documented, Steve Emerson went through the log files of the White House visitation and documented more than 300 visits by Muslim Brotherhood representatives in the first 5 years of Obama's presidency. I don't know, but think about that. So we have the Muslim Brotherhood is very influential at the top. And, of course, who did Obama support in the, quote, Arab Spring? By the way, Dave, have you noticed we don't hear much about the Arab Spring anymore? That's sort of like Islam, the religion of peace. If people say that, it's with irony.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't hear much about it, and you certainly don't hear about what's happened to the Christians over there.
Oh, no, because when they came up, but here's a fact. Christians in the Middle East prefer a tyrant like Mubarak or Assad to the rule of groups like the Muslim Brotherhood. Because what it is that these tyrant types are actually actually not fully immersed in Islam. They're playing international politics, and they're a little more civilized than the Muslim Brotherhood is. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's take Iraq. The Christians prospered better under Hussein than they did under that which followed, because the great majority of all Christians in Iraq have fled. They didn't have to flee when they had a tyrant at the top. I mean, and that tells you how bad, things are that a tyrant is in preference to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And
you know, you mentioned Iraq, Tariq Aziz, I think was his name, and I'm probably mispronouncing that. You know, he was a Christian, at least a nominal Christian, you know. So, and I was over there, and there was a Christian community that they did seem to be more concerned about what might happen after we left than they were.
Well, it's a good cause.
And I
think it is, too. I think that George Bush made some huge errors when he just sort of turned his head at the persecution of Christians, because this was not subtle. This was not subtle. When you leave Christian girls' heads on the altar of the church, that's not subtle. And yet we just sort of and when I bring up Bush, by the way, here, the thing I'm trying to point out is that it's not like that Islam is a better Democrat than they are Republican. Islam is a third point of view that has nothing to do with either Democrats or Republicans. It has nothing to do with them. And yet we want to pretend like, well, you know, before Bush, most Muslims voted Republican. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Voted Republican. Why? Because of morals. All right? Islam is one of the most prudish groups of people you'll ever meet. So they saw the Republicans as being having better morals. They weren't for gay marriage, all right? And some other issues.
Right.
But when Bush took out after the Muslims as much as he did after September 11th, the Muslims all of a sudden went over to the other side. And, of course, the Democrats don't give the backside of a dead rat which voting block they have. They just want the vote. So they're like, hey, brother, come on in the tent.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, you know, they've been aligned with the communists so long, so it really doesn't matter to them who they sell us out to. Speaking to communists speaking of communists and anti-communism, our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar-flying Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, and we're speaking to Dr. Bill Warner on the subject of Muslim persecution of Christians. And back to you, Bill.
Well, let's start back at the very beginning. In the beginning was Muhammad. Muhammad, let's get this straight, was a Christian killer. Muhammad was a Jew killer. Muhammad was a pagan killer or a polytheist killer. Now, let's just make this right in the beginning. And you're going, well, now, Bill, I've heard that Islam is the religion of peace. And you're telling me that they kill Christians? Or Muhammad did? Yep, that's what I'm telling you. Muhammad rose to power through jihad. His religion didn't work. He preached the religion of Islam for 13 years and got 150 people to follow him in 10 years' time. That's about 15 a year. But when he turned to jihad, which included murder and theft, and did I tell you what the payment plan was? He got 20% and the murderers got 80%. Now, there's a business deal you can understand. So that, and when he died, after becoming a Jew killer, a pagan killer, and a Christian killer, he was enormously successful. And his last words on his deathbed were not about how to be a better Muslim. They were what to do about the Christians and the Jews. So the murder that we see today around the world of Christians, Jews, Buddhists, and Hindus started with Muhammad. And it would have to start there, Dave, because he is the perfect Muslim. There's over 90 verses in the Quran which say every Muslim is to imitate Muhammad. So when the Muslim Brotherhood is killing Christians in Egypt, they are imitating Muhammad. So it all starts with him. And
now,
I want to
drive home. That Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt is being supported with our tax dollars, correct? Or at least
they
were. I'm assuming they still are. So
yes,
our tax dollars are paying the Muslim Brotherhood to kill Christians in Egypt.
You know what I have to say about that, Dave? We give them the money and they still hate us. I've told many people this. The Muslim Brotherhood will hate us for free. We don't have to pay them to make them hate us. They'll hate us for free. No, really, Dave, they'll hate us for free.
You're right.
But, you know, we need to bring this a little bit to home. It sounds like the Muslim Brotherhood is just over in Egypt, and, you know, it all started with Muhammad 1,400 years ago. But you and I are living in the wonderful state of Tennessee, and, gosh, that's a long way from Egypt, isn't it? Not at all. We have the Muslim Brotherhood present and among us here in Tennessee today. As a matter of fact, going back to our esteemed governor, he has a very strong relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood. There is something called AMAC, the American Muslim, American Muslim Advisory Council.
Yeah, Advisory Council. Yeah.
And our Governor Haslam has decided that when it comes to Islam, he ain't going to be listening to Bill and Dave, I'll tell you that.
No.
He's going to be listening to Ahmed and Muhammad, and they will do so as members of AMAC. So don't think that Islam and the power of the Muslim Brotherhood is way far away. Now, the most clever part about these guys, and you got to hand these, I called up Andy Bostom, another writer on the subject of Islam, one morning. I says, Andy, do you ever wake up despising your own and admiring your enemy? And he said, Bill, that's the downside of what we do. Because
hey, Bill,
the Muslim Brotherhood.
Bill, I'm going to have to take a break, so let's hold that thought till right after.
Right
after the break. Don't go away. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Concerted Nation.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're speaking to Dr. Bill Warner. Bill, before the break, you were mentioning your conversation with another expert on Islam, and you were talking about being disgusted with the people who should be on our side and actually impressed with the enemy. Let's pick up that conversation.
Well, I have to be impressed with them because they are so good. Because now what I've done up to this point is I've talked about blood and death, and so you think, and I've said that was launched by the Muslim Brotherhood. But the Muslim Brotherhood has opened up its most successful front on Christianity here in Tennessee and across the nation. And yet you're going, well, Bill, wait a minute. No Christians have been killed here in Tennessee by any Muslims. No, we have the thin end of the wedge, and that thin end of the wedge is called Dialogues and Family of Abraham, a very subtle approach to converting Christians that deals with the fact that the average Christian knows less about Islam than they know about, I don't know, brain surgery. As a matter of fact, you know, I bet there are more brain surgeons in Tennessee than people who actually know Islam. But anyway, what they do is they bring together, can I say idiot Christian leaders and idiot Jewish leaders? Can I say that?
I'm going to why not? We stand for truth on this day, so you call it what you want.
That can get you a bad name if you keep saying that, Dave.
I'll be in good company with that bad name.
So what they do is they go to the Christians, and by the way, this program started 3 days after 9/11. This is something that no one paid any attention to at all. There was such shock over what happened with 9/11 that no one noticed this. 3 days after 9/11, the phone started ringing in churches across the United States. And a voice on the other end of the line said, "Hi, I'm a Muslim, and we would like to come to your church to teach you about Islam, the religion of peace."
Bill, can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah.
Do you think that maybe George Bush's comment about Islam is a great religion of peace that has been hijacked, do you think maybe that facilitated that a little bit?
It did, and do you know where he got that from? He got that
probably
from
as a Muslim advisor.
who was introduced to him by Herbert Norquist. Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist introduced the Muslim to him, who's a Sahil Khan, who went to Bush and said, "Oh, this is such a tragedy. This has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is the religion of peace." And then they set up a meeting at where? The National Cathedral. And the idiot Christians who run the National Cathedral didn't know squat. And they loved the sound of the religion of peace. And actually, everybody was anxious to spring for that because they're like, dang, if these are typical Muslims, those people, the 18, was it 19 on the plains, we're in deep doo-doo. So when the president comes along, and by the way, why did George Bush say this? Because he had an education at Yale. That's why he said that. He took some religion 101 course at Yale, and they gave him the usual buttered-up, smoothed-up version of all religions. We're all here to live together happily. And so it seemed natural to him. Why would – I believe President Bush is a Methodist, and I don't think he ever thought that there could be such a thing, because before 9/11, I was about the only weirdo I knew who was even interested in the subject of Islam. No one else was like, eh, who cares? So anyway, that's the reason Bush did it. Moving along, this program to bend Christianity to the needs of the Muslim Brotherhood started 3 days after 9/11, and the idiot churches started bringing them in because they wanted to believe the foolish truth.
Yep.
The same thing is going on today, but at a greatly increased pace. The family of Abraham, as they call it, and here's the big lie. Well, you see, we're all children of Abraham, and we all worship the same God.
No.
Kiss my grits. But the problem is not that the Muslim Brotherhood is lying to the ministers, but let me tell you something. As a man who has tried to tell the truth to ministers, they look at me like they need to wipe me off the bottom of their foot because they've stepped in something they don't want to bring into the house. So
let me
I'm
ask you this.
Yeah.
Does that include conservative? Because, you know, there have been a lot of very liberal Protestant mainline churches for a long time. I mean, they've bought every other lie that's come down the path. Have you talked to some allegedly conservative pastors who didn't want to give you the time?
Let me put my proviso in. Usually what I say to people about at this time when I start talking about this is, now relax, I'm only talking about 90 to 95% of the churches.
Okay.
So I'll grant you that. Now, by the way, you've caught me on a pessimistic day about this issue anyway. I've run into yet one more Christian leader who's mealy-mouthed, weak-kneed, and doesn't want to, you know, well, we don't want to offend anybody. To which I say, have you never read the Gospels? Jesus offended a lot of people. So if you're going to be a Christian, I think you need to get busy offending people. I mean, that's just my weird reading. But anyway, so these ministers are so ignorant. Now, by the way, I call them professionally ignorant because, Dave, you can sit down with Google and in 15 minutes' time type in the words Muslim or Islam and persecution of Christians. Stand back. Here it comes. So these men, and as a matter of fact, I know some of these men who have stood up and stood for the family of Abraham, and they're religious leaders whom I have spoken to a long time ago, and they've heard the truth of Islam from Muhammad's lips and from Allah's lips. They choose to pretend to be asleep. And this is Bill's rule of waking people up. You can awaken a man who is truly asleep, but, Dave, you will never awaken a man who is pretending to be asleep. Because he ain't going to let you know he's awake. So anyway, we have all the good Christians and all the good Jews going down to the family of Abraham, and they do so by the hundreds. And they all sit there, and the rules of these dialogues are real simple. No one will be offended. No one will be contradicted. Well, that sounds like a good first date maybe, but do we have to keep doing that? So what we see is the Muslim Brotherhood is penetrating and transforming Christianity here in Tennessee in only about 90 to 95% of the churches.
Only, yes. Okay.
Only.
We have reason to be optimistic then.
We have reason to. Well, actually, there are some small reasons to be optimistic. I now keep hearing it's like an underground movement of popping up here and there. Somebody says, here's a DVD of six lectures this guy gave at this church on Islam, and people came from all different kinds of churches to hear this. So there is a stirring, but I can tell you, well, let me just give you an example. I won't name names, but there was one of the largest churches in Middle Tennessee, a mainline church, has thousands of members. And they had an option to having Matt Bonner come in, I'll mention his name and he won't mind that, to give a program on the Crescent Project, which is applying the Great Commission to Muslims. In other words, here's how you convert Muslims. They wanted to bring that in and have a program at this church. Gosh, the leadership of the church said, you know, we don't think we'd want to do that, Matt. Why? It's the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. Well, you see, Matt, we're having a dialogue with the imam at the Muslim Brotherhood Mosque. They didn't call it the Muslim Brotherhood Mosque, but that's what it is. And, you know, he would be offended if he thought we were trying to convert some Muslims to Christianity. Now, that's what I call ideological and moral bankruptcy.
So much for the Great Commission. You mentioned Matt Bonner, and hey, just a quick plug, we had him come to one of our little churches out here in Stewart County, and that is an excellent, excellent program. So if you're listening out there, get Matt to your church. If your church has enough backbone to have him.
Well, yeah, if they've got the backbone. But anyway, so the Muslim Brotherhood is alive and well in Tennessee today. They're talking to our governor. But worse, they're talking to the churches. And I'm rather an extremist on this issue. I hold the pulpits responsible for the moral state of the nation. How about that? Is that a radical concept? Is that a fair thing to say?
No, it's what most of them – hey, it's what most of them – that's the standard they used to hold themselves to.
That – ooh, you used the past tense there. Used to hold themselves to. Now then they hold themselves to the line of what is pleasing. What won't ruffle any feathers? What's not going to upset somebody? And then the big one is, I don't want to say anything that would call me a bigot. I don't want to do that. That'd be hate speech.
And it's cowards like that that have, they basically play into this nightmare that is Islam, whether you're talking overseas or here. You know, we've had things happen here because of that attitude. And speaking of nightmares, one of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock has a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home, but it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking with Dr. Bill Warner. Dr. Warner, before the break, we were talking about the nightmare that cowardice on the part of our clergy and others has led to in reference to appeasing the Muslims, and specifically the church. So let's turn that back over to you and let you take it from there.
By the way, when you did your riff for LifeLock, I thought, darn, I need to start a company called Islam Lock. Keep it safe. By the way, this is a sidebar, but I have to go over to it. Did you get the news today, or was it yesterday? Angola has declared that no mosques may be built in Angola.
I saw that. I'm like, you know, I never thought I would want to see us copy anything that Angola did, but I like that. I'll sign
up for
that.
Well, you know, the bulldozer pushing down the mosque, I'm going, dude, now you're talking.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier about the 300-some visits to the White House by the Muslim Brotherhood. That is the equivalent in World War II of having the Nazis visit the White House 300 times. But
well,
nobody's upset about it.
Actually, it's even worse. My good friend Vijay Kumar pointed something out. He said, civilization can survive communism, civilization can survive Nazism, but civilization cannot survive Islam. Think about that.
Well, I believe that. Well, it's totally uncivilized. When they're in power, they are totally uncivilized.
So, but
they
anyway,
destroy everything.
The object of the discussion so far is that there's a 1,400-year-old program. Its modern manifestation is called the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is alive and well here in the governor's office. It is alive and well here in many, many of the churches here in Tennessee. So this is not some problem that's going to happen in the future, or it's not some problem that's like, you know, that we're just imagining here. But I have spoken, by the way, with some of these so-called religious leaders who go to these Family of Abraham events. Would you like me to tell you what their psychology is? I mean,
oh,
they
yes,
have a
I'd
thought
love to hear
process
it.
About this. Because some of them I know, I have spoken with about Muhammad to them, gave them a one-hour briefing, and yet they're running off now to these things, and here's what they say. First off, these men who do these events, by and large, do not believe in any text. They don't believe in a constitution. They don't believe in the Torah. They don't believe in the New Testament, even though they're Christians, because these works become so modified by them that they no longer have any power to limit them in their actions. When you started this program, you talk about the limited government. Well, these people have no personal limits to their thought process because in their utopian minds, anything can happen, particularly if it starts with their thoughts. So here's what they think. This is what they've said. Well, no one has ever really treated the Muslims right. And when they
what?
See... here's what they say, okay? I've been told by some of these religious leaders that people like me is the reason that Islam causes problems. And that if people were simply reasonable with Muslims, then over here there would come a new form of Islam that was truly democratic and truly peaceful. These men think that Muslims do not actually believe in the Quran and they do not actually believe in Muhammad. That once they've met them, be they the rabbi or the preacher or whoever else, they'll go, wow, what a really great guy you are. Oh, this is really wonderful. You know, we need to live in harmony with all men of peace on the world. This is what they actually think will happen. Once the Muslims see how reasonable they are, then they will follow them to the new utopia. These men actually believe this.
Two thoughts real quick there. The first thing sounds almost like the blaming a woman for wearing shorts, and she gets raped. Well, you know, she was asking for it. She was wearing shorts. That's the equivalent mentality of that defense. And then the other one reminds me of FDR, who thought all he had to do was just get in the room alone with Joe Stalin, and he could make a nice guy out of Joe Stalin.
Well,
that's insane that this would come from clergy.
No. I mean, it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same. So when they've never met a man like me, and once they meet me, then everything, you know, Uncle Joe will be just fine, and so will Uncle Muhammad. Everything will be fine once they've met. And by the way, once we eliminate people like you and me who are Islamophobes, haters, liars, racist, other stuff. It's interesting. I quote Muhammad and Allah all the time. And when I quote Muhammad and Allah, they call me a hater. But when the imam quotes them, they think, oh, what a wonderful thing. What's up with that?
Good Lord. So they've adopted the blame the victim mentality. We are to blame for what they have done.
Oh, yes, we are to blame for the problems with Islam.
Oh.
And if we could just bring in enough Muslims here and Islamify the nation, then they could relax and they wouldn't bother us anywhere. And by the way, they're getting closer and closer to home. While we're speaking of the presence of Islam in America and in particular Tennessee, Islam now has an official representative of the Tennessee legislature.
Yes, I heard about that in Memphis.
Yes,
to go along with the lobbyist that they have. They have a representative and a lobbyist.
They have the Muslim Brotherhood has a lobbyist, an attractive woman named Suleiman. And then I don't know whether this other guy out of Memphis is good-looking or not, I do not know. But anyway, again, Dave, what I'm saying here is this is a storm cloud that when I first started talking about it, you could cover with your thumb on the horizon. The storm cloud now is big enough that you need two hands to cover it, and it's moving in. This is no longer a theoretical problem. This is a practical problem and a very, very serious problem. Some people think, well, it's not happening in some big explosion revolution, do not understand the history of Islam. But, you know, as hard as I've been on ministers, and by the way, I can be even a lot harder in private conversation, we have to understand they have their own roots in ignorance. I went to one of the largest publishing houses of religious material in the United States, and I said, you do not sell in your bookstores, nor do you publish a single book on the interpretation of the Quran, to use the technical term, the exegesis of the Quran. Nor do you sell a single book which allows us to understand the Sunnah of Muhammad, his life, the Sirah, and his traditions, the Hadith. Nor do you sell a single book which explains what the Sharia is and what it means to Christians. Their response to me was, well, we don't see any need for such material.
Good Lord.
And I've also, there is no such thing as a religious school in Tennessee. 60 million Christians have died over 1,400 years. Christianity has virtually been eliminated from the Middle East. Egypt used to be Christian. North Africa was Christian. St. Augustine came from North Africa. Lebanon, you know, Syria. Syria was the intellectual powerhouse of the Christian world before it was crushed by Islam. That history is not taught in a single textbook, because I've vetted the, you're going to talk to Jackie Archer, a true hero, and our knowledge of Islam is rooted in ignorance. People have heard half-truths, and the churches are one of the, and their church schools are some of the biggest promulgators of the lie of peaceful Islam. So, I mean, these men come by their ignorance honestly. They went to church schools, and they were taught nothing. To this day, not one church school will teach you anything about the annihilation of Christianity in the world. Nor will
that's
they,
a shame.
You know, well, let me tell you what I did. I spoke with one minister about bringing, at least could you pray in your church for the persecuted Christians around the world. Do you know what he told me?
What?
Well, we have some members of my church who have Muslims who are business partners. They would be offended
what?
If they did that.
They ought to be Buddhist. How? You can't do that. You can't be a Christian and have a Muslim business
have
partner.
You noticed
you're not even supposed to have a business partner that's not a Christian, technically. Good Lord.
But anyway, have you noticed as many times as I've talked to you, gone, what?
I know, and you know, and that's sad because, you know, this is not the first time I'm this is not the first time I've talked to you. This is not the first time I've looked into the problem, as you know, but just some of these things just really shocked me. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Call in if you have a question or comment for Dr. Warner, and we'll turn it back to you, Bill. Yes, you. Some things you've said tonight just really, really, I guess I shouldn't be shocked anymore, but I guess I wanted to hope that the clergy was not quite as far gone as they are. So there you have it.
Well, I see you're beginning to drift over. Remember I told you, you admire the enemy and despise your own? I mean, you stay in my business long enough, and when I say that I admire the enemy, I am not lying. These people, let's talk, you're going to be talking with Miss Jackie Archer in the next hour. Let's talk about the Muslim Brotherhood and the textbooks. Can we do that? Because the textbooks are here in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the year 1990. The state was California. The big cheese was a man by the name of Karachi, a billionaire Pakistani. And the Muslim Brotherhood, with his funding, and by the way, notice what I said with his funding. By the way, the Muslims are generous to a fault about financing the Muslim Brotherhood and Jihad, whereas the Christians are stingy. They'll squeeze a nickel so hard the buffalo will grunt. They ain't going to spend no money on nothing. Anyway, so the Karachi put up the money. It is now 23 years later. They made a 20-year plan to take over the textbooks of America. We do not have anybody on our side capable of doing 20-year plans. I know all the players in this game. We do not have anyone who is capable of putting out a 20-year plan, nor do we have any way to get all the heads together in the same room to talk about it. The Muslim Brotherhood meets, and by the way, there are many Muslim Brotherhood organizations, and I'm going to be listing them. One of them is ISNA, for instance. The other is CARE. We have AMAC here in Tennessee. But they plan way ahead. I say if the Muslim Brotherhood says they planned it, you can take it to the bank. They will deliver, and it will be a long war because they understand a long war. When Ho Chi Minh, I love to read biographies, and when America entered the war in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh said the following: it will be a long war, and we will win in the media and the universities. Now, there's a man, if he had put his head to it, could fight against Islam. But we don't have those kind of thinkers. We're not willing to do long wars.
No. Well, we don't have the patience, and we don't have – right now, though, we wouldn't have the time left. I mean, we need about a five-year plan just to get started and make any headway.
Well, we need some kind of plan, and I'll tell you the real deal is that the planning amongst us is very loose and very casual, and I don't mean it's not intense, but it is not a formal relationship that we have, those who are opposing Islam. We're all like
right.
lone wolves.
Yeah,
right.
And we've definitely
got
to work on it.
That we have
Bill,
some that run with our pack, but by and large, we do not sit down and have twice-a-year meetings with people coming in all across the nation to lay out long plans and then fulfill them. Again,
well, we probably have to start that at the state level. We probably have to start at the state level initially. Bill, I've got to take a quick break,
sure.
but we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Inside Tennessee. When we get back, we're going to take our caller.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee. I'm your host, Dave Vance. Phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Dr. Bill Warner. Bill, we got a caller on the line. Let's see what Kurt's got for us, and we'll get right back to you. Kurt, you have
Hello,
a question
Dave.
Or comment? How's it going?
Yeah, good. Dr. Warner, good to have you on the show again, sir. Always good to hear from you. You may have seen this very well. Are you a follower of Wild Bill for America by chance?
I've met him personally and occasionally see his stuff. A very charming and likable man who has a keen insight into what's going on.
Okay, I'm going to post a link here in chat. I don't know if you can capture it or not. If you can't, Dave could furnish it for you. This is, you know, all his YouTubes are usually very, very good. But he came out with one, it's next to the latest one on his website at www.wildbill.com. Forgive me for saying it, three W's there, okay? everybody knows that. Wildbillforamerica.com. It's called Bad John. The focal point of this little video, short video, it's not a little video, is John the Baptist. And when it first, the first few words out of his mouth, my jaw dropped open, and then I'm going, yeah, all right, come on, Bill, preach to me some more. This, the message in this video, I'm flinging it far and wide. I'm flinging it in the face of men in the pulpit, actually, as a challenge, as it were, because I don't see how anyone that calls himself a minister could hear the words that comes out of this man's mouth regarding John the Baptist and the message that is contained in this. And I just wanted to call that to your attention in case you haven't seen it, because you were speaking of the failings of our pulpits across America, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm sad to have to say that, but I do agree with you, and I have a lot of friends who are in the same boat on that. The voice that should be the strongest and the most influential is failing us in that. And I just wanted to call your attention to that video, and perhaps you might find some use for it.
Oh, I'll be sure to check it out.
Your brother can get their hands on it, pass it around.
Let me say this. The problem that we're dealing with here has reached the proportions where last week I gave a talk at a national conference held in Dallas, Texas, called False Prophets.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not the only guy who's getting cranky about this. I'm not the only guy standing up and saying that I hate to use this terminology, but the pulpits are corrupt. You know, when you go through the woods, if you see a fungus growing out of the side of the tree, the fungus is not killing the tree. The wood was dead, and the fungus moved in. And that is exactly the description of how Islam is moving into the pulpits of America. It's all dead wood.
Ooh, that's ugly, but I like it. I mean, it's a harsh way of speaking the truth. And I think the time for harsh truth has come. But anyway, get on back with Dave there, and I just wanted to call your attention to that. Keep up the great work, Dr. Warner.
Thank you so much. And by the way, I routinely condemn church, and I'll call it all clergy leadership, because if you think the Christians are bad, the Jews are worse. Some people think, well, Jews are real smart; they're hip to all this. No, now there are, just like there are a handful of Jews who are like awesome on the subject, just like there's some Christians who are like stupendously good on the subject. It's just that we're only, as I said, I'm only condemning 90-95% of the churches. But this condemnation of the leadership in the pulpit is not limited to me at all. In speaker after speaker got up, including a black minister out of Dallas. Dave, have you noticed that some of the best conservative speakers on politics are black?
Yes.
What's the guy's name?
Ben Carson, Robert Saul.
Okay. Tom Saul, Walter Williams.
Yeah.
Michael Massey.
Some of the best conservative speakers are black politicians, are black thinkers. But anyway, I'm not the only one standing up and yelling about this. And by the way, I mean, I'm so far out on a limb anyway, I need to grow wings. I even blame the rhinos on the pulpits.
Oh, well, they're to blame for everything.
I mean, I think that the pulpits
have
led
no
us
time.
To a rhino Republican, in which they don't want to, they want to be, what I say is that the ministers have put down the gospel of Christ and taken up the gospel of nice. Christianity has become a banquet table of cakes, pies, ice cream, pop, cotton candy, fruit, but it's just nothing but dessert. I had a guy, the best thing about what I do are the people I meet. And I had a man come to one of my meetings, and I knew him to be Nigerian from his appearance, and I thought he was Muslim, and he was a former Muslim. He gave a brief talk on Islam after when I got through with my talk. Then he gave a condemnation of the churches today. He said, in America, you have made Christianity something you can do for an hour on Sunday that will make you feel good for 7 days. He said, I tell you, this is not Christianity. So
we need to get that guy on the circuit.
I think I've heard that gentleman speak in Nashville. I'm not absolutely certain, but I think I did.
But anyway, we have to start to we have to recognize the fact that the pulpits no longer lead us through difficult times. Now, they can get you through a funeral. And by the way, if a tornado blows through your neighborhood, Christians are the best one to help you. Christians have become filled with compassion, but they don't have courage. And further, and the leadership doesn't have the courage to be hated. And once again, I say, have you not read the Gospels? Jesus was hated. If you're a Christian and you're not hated, you know, you're really not doing a good job. Well, that's not a message anybody wants to hear. You need to be
despised. No, they don't want to hear that one.
I don't think I want to do that. And I'll warn you, it ain't fun.
Let me bring up something
here. I've had to do in my life, like repair the plumbing in the crawl space. It wasn't fun, but I needed the kitchen sink to work. There's just some times in life when it can't be all grins and giggles. Sometimes we got to get down and do the scut work.
Got to do the hard job, the dirty jobs. Bill, you mentioned the fact that, you know, the Christians have been pretty much silent about what's gone on over in the Middle East. And Africa and everywhere else. Well, actually, you didn't mention it, but a lot of people don't know. I mean, you're very aware that there is a fairly large Coptic Christian population in Tennessee, specifically in Nashville. And, you know, has there been any outreach to them?
None that I'm aware of. And if you want to meet some brave Christians, you need to meet some Christians from the Middle East and from Africa. You will meet a whole different kind of person. These aren't fair weather sailors. These are people who stuck through it thick and thin. And yet they're here in Tennessee. The persecuted church is here in Tennessee. We have the Sudanese. We have the Nigerians. We have the Ethiopians. And yet who invites them into their church? Who goes to their church? And so it's just... in Matthew 25, it tells Christians there's going to be a final exam on Judgment Day. I'll give you the questions. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was in prison, did you visit me? I want to point out to you what the final exam does not say. When I was naked, did you pray for me? When I was hungry, did you pray for me? When I was in prison, did you pray for me? No. The final exam is, did you get up off your keister and go do something?
And I think that's an exam that unfortunately, a lot of people are going to fail. And, you know, speaking for myself, I've got to do more in that area. But, you know, that's a population we need to reach out to.
And by the way,
one,
when you reach out to them, you'll ask yourself the question when the meeting is over, why didn't I do this earlier? These are wonderful people. Wonderful people.
And they would be... Most of them, like you say, have dealt with persecution by Muslims from where they, you know, where they came from, and maybe they could wake up the rest of the church.
The persecution can be subtle. If you're a Christian in Egypt, you get sneers, you get spit on, you get insulted verbally. It didn't if they always have to come and burn down your church and your house. I mean, persecution goes in many layers of subtlety. So no, and it's just, how can they be here and no one reach out to them? Anyway, goodness gracious. Can we end on a happy note, Dave? I'm trying to think of one.
Have you got one?
I'm afraid I'm like the prophet of doom here.
Well, you're the guest, so you get to end it, so you've got to have a happy note to end it on.
Well, I tell you, the happy note of ending is, once you understand the problem, Islam is easy to defeat. It really is. The things that we have to do turn out, in most cases, to be trivially simple, like actually read and understand the Quran and what it means to history. That's now actually easy to do. And when you do so, you begin to see that, like, wait a minute here. This is not that difficult a problem. Humor is one way. Islam dissolves under humor. Irony, they can't take jokes, and there are no jokes about Muhammad. So if everybody could tell a Muslim a Muhammad joke, it would actually, do you remember Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, how she melts and goes on the floor? Humor does that to Islam. It destroys it.
So maybe we should have a stand-up night in Nashville where we, all of us conservatives, all of us people who know what a threat it is, we get up there and do a routine. Each of us take turns doing a routine on Muhammad. What do you think?
Did you hear one about Muhammad and Aisha going to a bar?
What's that?
I said, did you hear the one about Muhammad and Aisha as they go into a bar?
No.
It's not an actual joke. It's just, how many jokes have you heard that start like that? A priest, something, oh, they go into a bar, da-da-da. So.
Hey, that's a start. We can come up with something there.
The point is that Islam is easy to defeat if we're willing to pull our head out of the sand and understand what its true nature is. For instance, we would stop importing them by the 747 full. You're like, wait a minute here. Whoa, 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 we don't need more of that.
No,
if we're
going
to import, if we're going to import the persecuted into America, why do we import the persecuted Iraqis, the persecuted Nigerians, the persecuted Egyptians? Why do we invite their persecutors in instead of the victims?
Yeah.
So easy
no argument there. Well, Bill, I appreciate you being with us and hope to have you back. It's been great. It's always learn something talking to you and always enjoy hearing what you have to say. But thanks again, and we're going to let you go, and I will be talking to you real soon.
Okay, and tell Jackie I said hi.
All right. Thanks. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back right after this short
Bye-bye.
Break. Take care, Bill. Bye.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, ConservativeNationMedia.com.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
left. You are not going to
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three lights and then take the next left.
I don't really
drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon. For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said today that the Senate may pursue stronger sanctions against Iran after lawmakers criticized a nuclear accord that would ease sanctions. Reid called the pact negotiated between six world powers and Iran an important first step, but expressed uncertainty whether it would be good enough. Speaking on the Diane Rehm Show, Reid said, quote, if we need to do stronger sanctions, I'm sure we will do that. We'll move forward appropriately. The Senate Majority Leader acknowledged that President Obama could veto stronger sanctions passed by Congress if he believes that they run counter to his foreign policy agenda. Lawmakers on both sides have criticized the agreement. Democrat Chuck Schumer is among those who have criticized the deal. On Sunday, Schumer said, quote, it was strong sanctions, not the goodness of the hearts of the Iranian leaders that brought Iran to the table. And any reduction relieves the pressure of sanctions and gives them the hope that they will be able to obtain a nuclear weapon. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Hello.
Jackie?
Yes. Dave?
Hey, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
Good. Are we on the air?
Yes, we are on air. Had a little snafu there, but everybody, you're listening to Inside Tennessee. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we have Jackie Archer from the Tennessee textbook. She's one of the Tennessee textbook warriors. And Jackie, matter of fact, thanks for the tattlers. I got them in the mail today. I appreciate it. And by the way, our last guest, Dr. Warner, said to tell you hello.
Oh, well, hello, Bill, my friend.
He's a good man.
Very
and
good.
And we appreciate you coming on. And we had Lisa Moore, one of your compatriots, a couple weeks ago talking about the textbook issue. But you've got a new website up, textbookadvocates.com. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I'd like to invite everybody to go to textbookadvocates.com and look around. The main attraction there is every book review that was submitted to the State Board of Education, the Textbook Commission, is posted on that website. If you go to the tab at the top that says book reviews, a list will come up of all the 70-some books that are up for consideration, and you click on any one of those book titles, and every review that was submitted for that book will be listed there. And our wonderful friend Sue Redman, that is formerly from Murfreesboro, who moved to California about a year or so ago, did all of that work. The reviews that were posted on the state website were in a terrible order, no order, as a matter of fact. So she had to sort through all that mess. It took her 3 days and get
wow.
them sorted out and posted under the appropriate book title to make it easy for anyone who wants to go and see what was found in the books. We particularly want teachers to go there, especially.
Now, how many books did you say?
Well,
how many books were actually reviewed?
There are only 72. Now, there were 76 to begin with. The book commission talked about 96, but apparently about 20 or so of those things were not actual books, but other kind of material. The actual textbooks, there were 76 listed. Two of them got dropped or pulled early in the process, and three were duplicates. For instance, there was an economics book that was personal finance and micro and macro economics. And then there was another book that was called Microeconomics that was just the replication of the first part of the book that combined the two, and again with macro. There was an economics book that, not an economics, but a psychology book, I believe it was, that was in two different formats. So when you eliminated those duplications, there were just 72 different books.
There's still a lot of books to review.
Well, actually, it was a lot of books to review, especially in the condensed time period that we had. We had only 7 weeks, and when we started, we just had a very few handful of us that were even engaged in the reviewing process. The organization grew within that time period, and by the end of it, near the deadline, we had all kinds of people coming on board wanting to review books, but there was very little time left to do it. So we'll be in better shape the next time this comes around. But these books are up for use for 6 years.
That's a long time. A lot of damage can be done in 6 years.
A lot of damage. And when you think about it, the textbooks that are in the classrooms now are the textbooks that raised the red flag that created this whole process. Ms. Moore's sixth grader son came home and brought her attention to what was in the world history book that he had, was studying in sixth grade. And she took a look at it, she and her husband, and that's what got our attention and got this whole thing started. And those have been there for 6 years. So you add another 6 years, that's the totality of a child's education in Tennessee public schools.
Yeah, and how long have they been this bad was what we probably, you know, it's probably a lot longer than we want to think about.
A lot longer than we want. I'm told, I haven't had time to do all the research yet, but I'm told that it started in 1965. I have some 1964 world history books that are not so bad on anything except Islam. Islam is still portrayed as a peaceful and tolerant and one of the world religions. But the other parts of the book are pretty much as I remember growing up in the 40s and 50s. But I'm told that in 1965 is when it started, and it's just gradually gotten worse and worse until this year it was just unbelievable, the amount of bias, and the omissions were the big thing. It wasn't so much that they didn't tell the truth, although there were some untruths in the books, but mostly they just told one side of everything and omitted
right.
the side that we would have wanted told and promoted.
Kind of like the news media, kind of like what they do.
Kind of like the mainstream media, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Think they're on the same team, maybe?
Yeah, I think they are, but, you know, maybe they're not liking their results so much right now. It looks like maybe the momentum is swinging a little bit in our favor now that they're realizing what they've bought into. The textbooks, you know, were not reviewed by the state-level reviewers for the content, but only to make sure that they met the state standards, and that was just a process of checking, cross-checking. Every book had oh my goodness, there's my doorbell, and it's loud. I apologize for that.
Well, that's okay. I've got to do I can read something real quick if you need to answer the door.
No, my husband
America,
said answer the door.
Okay.
And it
America is
answer,
still the freest country.
Pardon?
America is still the freest I've got to read this ad. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for Liberty in the Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Committee with Matthew Opalowski, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Jackie, you mentioned a minute ago that the textbooks, and this just really kind of blows my mind, textbooks are not reviewed at the state level for content, accuracy, or bias, only that state standards are covered. Why would any state have standards that don't require that the content be accurate and unbiased?
Well, you know, it's a strange situation that it's not that hard to understand when you actually read the state standards. They're asking that certain areas be covered, certain events, certain people, and they're in a list. And every book, as I started to say before my doorbell rang, had an insert of a few pages listing Tennessee's state standards on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side it had book pages where those standards were met. So just because a certain character in history or a certain event in history was covered, there was no guarantee that it was covered accurately or without bias. So
they're just looking for the mention of it. They go down through and they have so-and-so's a specific topic here, and then they just go look to see, okay, is it mentioned? Is that what they're doing?
Right. I think so. You know, I'm not in their shoes or in their head, so I can't say that for sure, but that's what we were told. If you go back to the videos, which are on our website, of the meetings, the textbook commission meetings, they actually said that they weren't responsible for reviewing the books for content. So that they're handing these books down to the local level, depending on every local district, to review them for content. And I'm sure that the people at the local district assumed that they had been reviewed for content.
So, well, and they also believe that, hey, okay, the state has decided that these are the books we choose from, and so we really don't have a choice. So we're going to pick, I guess, whatever book we think is not as bad as the others, the lesser of evil.
Well, that didn't even come up in the conversation until we inserted ourselves, and then all of a sudden the conversation turned to the waiver system. Well, the funny thing is that when we went to the very first meeting, it wasn't the first meeting the Book Commission had. I think one of our group went to the very first one, which was held in May, but we didn't get involved until the June meeting. And we were there to ask questions and find out how it went because we were not getting any satisfaction from our local school board. And we were told that there's a waiver system, that they have no obligation at the district level to adopt these books, that they can find books that they like, and as long as they met Tennessee standards by, I think it's only 70% that they have to be meeting Tennessee state standards, then they will be approved by the state book commission, and they can use an alternative book. Well, we went back to our school board and told them that, and they didn't believe us. They actually told us, well, we would have to see that for ourselves before they would believe it. And it really wasn't until after the state Senate hearings that our school board begin to believe what we were trying to tell them, and that waivers could be used. But it had never been a part of the conversation between the state and the district before. And now, because these books have been so so well reviewed and disapproved of, not only by the citizen reviewers, but by the senators who have been made aware of how bad they are, all of a sudden the Department of Education and the Textbook Commission are stressing that the local districts should use the waiver system, that it is there.
So they've actually sent something down through channels to say,
yes,
that, you know, use this. Okay. Well, that, yes, that's good, and that's good to know that. So that when you go to your local district and they try to play that, well, hey, we have to take what the state hands us, you know that that's not the truth. Jackie, I've got to take a real quick break.
Sure.
Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Call in if you have a question or a comment. And we're talking with Jackie Archer. She's with Tennessee Textbook Advocates. Textbook Advocates. She's one of the Tennessee Textbook Warriors. And Jackie, before the break, we were talking about the review process. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, we were talking about the waiver system. And it sounds like a panacea, but it is not, because there's all kinds of hurdles that make that waiver system a difficult system. For one thing, for instance, Rutherford County has over 41,000 students, and so that's a lot of textbooks, and very few publishers can supply that many textbooks in the time period that exists, and they're required to sign a contract that says that those books have to be available for the next 5 years, because our state, and I guess we're fortunate that our state is one of the places where people like to come, because we are conservative, it's growing. And Rutherford County school system has built a new school every year for the last 10 years to accommodate the growth. That means that every year there's thousands more students that have to be supplied with books. So the publishers have to be able to supply those books for up to 5 years. I could be wrong. That might be 4 years, but at least it's most of the 6 year period that the books are in use. And the number of publishers that are able to do that is very limited. We have a bond requirement that is way, way, way out of line with other states. It's like it was $1 million. They reduced it to $500,000, and I believe they're talking about now cutting that in half again. But most states only have a $2,500 bond. So
that is a huge bond. Wow.
It's a huge bond.
And it ensures that only the big boys can play is what it does.
That's what it does. I think all that's going to be taken care of, because our Senator Gresham and the Senate Education Committee are very aware of the problems, and they're working hard to fix them. We had an expert that was a researcher on this issue across all 50 states and looking at best practices, and he came and testified at the hearings and told us what other states are doing that are seeing more success. And so we will probably model our reform after some of those states that are doing better along those lines. But what seems to be the future is electronic books. So I asked our curriculum director in Rutherford County, why can't we just use electronic books? That way it doesn't matter how many students you have. You just, you know, they go online and the book is there. Well, at the present time, they charge the same amount for electronic books as they do for hardcover books. And
wow.
As he explained to me, that means that they have to buy every student a tablet, which is maybe $400, and they only last for 2 years. So that's very expensive, and I believe I just saw data at the last school board meeting that indicated that almost half, just under half, of the students in Rutherford County Public Schools are economically challenged. So that would mean that the school system would have to supply those tablets. It wouldn't be something that every kid would have automatically. So it's going to be some years before, and I'm sure that's where we're headed, is to electronic books, but it might be a while. In the meantime, we have a real problem in trying to find alternative books that can be supplied in those kinds of numbers and guaranteed to be resupplied over the years. We're between a rock and a hard place. I would like, and I'm determined to do this, is to contact the publishers themselves and see if they can't make some corrections in these books. They're not, you know, some are worse than others.
Right, right. Now, what are some of the more egregious things you found in the books?
Oh gosh, I'm not real prepared for that. But one of the things that came up at the hearing that really set the senators off was excerpts out of a book that that actually told the student that Republicans were more likely to favor the rich, and that Democrats were more likely to favor the middle class and the poor. And there were so many worse things than that. I did not make a list of them. The things like that one of the roles of government is to socialize the young. That really bothered me.
I've got one of your tattlers right here, and I think I can find. Okay, government in America, Pearson Education, 9th through 12th grade. What should governments do? And they write, maintain a national defense. That was written in red. Everything in the tattler that's in red actually came from the textbook, and everything that's printed in black is a comment from one of the reviewers, Jackie or somebody else. And the review says, yes, as enumerated in the Constitution. And then the next thing it said is provide public goods and services. Now, provide public goods and services, but it didn't put any limitation on it, but the reviewers say limited in the Constitution. Now, this one will get you. Preserve order. When people protest in large numbers, government may resort to extreme measures to restore order. Now, they're kind of planting the seed there. Hey, you know, you get too large of a protest over there, we're going to have to crack down on you. So much for the Constitution. Right. And that's pretty much the comment by the reviewer. Not constitutional until laws are broken. Socialize the young. That's the comment you mentioned here a minute ago. Socialize the young. Who do you want socializing your child? That was one of the reviewer's comments. And, of course, this one I like, collect taxes. And the reviewer said what they do best. So this little tattler, I mean, it's got a lot of good information. It talks about the eradication of Christianity and Judaism. It talks about – but what they mean by that is there's so much in these textbooks about Islam and so little about Christianity or Judaism. And we are a Judeo-Christian nation. You would think that the textbooks would talk more about our culture than, you know, the Islamist. And then they don't even tell the truth about Islam. They tell half-truths about Islam. Let's see.
Yeah, if you look at those tabs where Ms. Moore did a tabulation of the number of units and chapters and pages devoted to Islam versus Christianity and the other world religions, it's just amazing. I mean, less than 2% of our population is Muslim, growing fast, but still.
Yeah, too fast. And what you were talking about is number of units, okay? A unit is going to be several chapters, whatever, how many chapters happen to make up a unit. But this was in a world, My World History and Geography, Early Civilization Through Renaissance. This is by Houghton Milton Harcourt. And number of units on Islam, 1. Number of units on Christianity, 0. Number of units on Judaism, 0. Number of chapters on Islam, 5. Number of chapters on Christianity, 0. 2 partial chapters mixed with other subjects, references to Muslims, 219, number of references to Christians, 42, number of references to Jews, 26, number of references to Muhammad, 180, number of references to Jesus, 102. So here we are, a Judeo-Christian nation, and the majority of material is talking about Islam. Slow fade into promotion of socialism and communism. And this is American Government and Civics by Magruder's, page 10. It asks the question, but what is justice? The term is difficult to define, for justice is a concept, an idea, an invention of the human mind. Like other concepts such as truth, liberty, fairness, and justice means what people want it to mean. That's a scary thought. This is what they're teaching our kids.
That is a scary thought. You know, I think people that have been raised in the Judeo-Christian tradition recognize justice and injustice when they see it, and they don't have to be taught that it is just some concept that is up to everyone's interpretation.
Yeah, the books are definitely not very patriotic books. And speaking of patriots, let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're conservative. You love America just like we do. You don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. Jackie, we've got to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away out there. We're listening to Inside Tennessee.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Out of all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176. We're speaking with Jackie Archer from Textbook Advocates. Jackie, you mentioned earlier about the waiver process, and you said that a local district could use the waiver process, and that they found a book they wanted to use. It only had to match up to the state standard. It only had to match 70% of the state standard, correct?
That's correct.
Now, who gets to determine, will the state actually review that book, or will they allow and trust the school to do the review? Do you know?
No, I think they have someone in place to take a look at the book and make that decision. Tammy Shelton is key in that process. I had a conversation with her. I don't pretend to know everything about it. This is a new experience for me, and I'm learning. But, you know, I talk to as many of these people as I can, try to learn as much as I can, and she indicated to me that they would be very receptive to the idea of approving of a waiver as long as they could. So it's not, and I have also learned that it's been done as many as 91 times in a single year, that the range is from 3 waivers to as many as 91 in any given adoption period. So
it's been done before then.
Oh yes, uh-huh.
Good, good.
Uh-huh.
Do we know what counties?
No, I don't. I only had those numbers. They were mentioned at the last meeting. Well, I think maybe at the hearings before the senators. But my request to Ms. Shelton was, can we not require a course on the Constitution, because that's one of the really neglected subjects in these books. Is, you know, they misconstrue the whole intent of the Founding Fathers and the Constitution. So I would like to see a requirement of a at least, you know, maybe a 4 or 6 week course on the Constitution for graduation. And she said that she would approve of that if anybody at a local level wanted to include that in their curriculum.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Great. You know, I would think the U.S. Constitution and state constitution, I think that's something that our kids need to hear, to learn and to know, and to be a requirement to graduate.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, and this is something that came out in my conversation with our curriculum director here in Rutherford County, and I'm not an authority on Common Core and PARC, the testing conglomerate. I do understand that the testing conglomerate PARC is a multinational corporation, and that we can, as a state, opt out of it. Some other states have. I'm not sure which ones. I can't remember. I've heard, but I can't remember right now which ones have opted out of, because it's very expensive. But I was told by Mr. Zago, our curriculum director, that they can't disappoint parents because parents expect the school to teach to the tests that the children must score well enough on to be accepted to the upper level of universities. So you see, they have us by the you-know-what. They've constructed the whole system to be a thread from these flawed, objectionable textbooks to the test that allows kids to score well enough to get into these universities, where they're only going to be further indoctrinated.
Right.
It's a sad situation and hard to undo.
Yeah, well, you know, we were talking earlier about, we wonder how long this has been going on. Well, the teachers that reviewed these textbooks, you know, they reviewed them just to make sure they met the standards. They didn't review for content. You know, did they even recognize the bias? Or is that what they were taught? So they thought, you know, hey, okay, yeah, this sounds right.
I don't think they did, if they did any reading. Well, I know that they did some reading, because one of the things that there were only two publications that they rejected, that they said did not meet standards. And one of them was a third grade weekly reader type publication. And the two things that were in that publication that they objected to were, one, the Golden Rule, and in another week, that was in week 6, I think it was, and then in week 13, there was a section on institutions, and one of the institutions that they used as an example was Christian churches. And they objected to the whole publication for that third grade weekly reader under Christian bias.
Christian bias. But no, but they don't recognize Islamic bias. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Jackie, we've got a caller on the line here. We're going to go ahead and take a call.
Okay.
Caller, you have a question or comment?
Hey, David, it's Jerry. Jackie, thank you for calling into our show. We appreciate your insight into it. What needs to be done with all of this Common Core, number one, is people have to become aware of the fact that it comes directly from the UN Agenda 21. Much of it is written by Bill Ayers, who, as far as I'm concerned, is still a terrorist. And if you take the time to compare it, it will compare very greatly to the training of Hitler's youth movement. This is designed to undermine our children and bring them down into a bunch of little socialists. And people have to wake up to that fact and walk back into where this stuff all comes from and where it's going. We're heading for a fascist country. And people that are calling themselves and conservatives, it's time to get up, stop complaining, and get off your butt and do something about it. If every one of us educated 10 other people, maybe we could get something started. But this is where we have to start taking a stand and start doing things. In Cumberland County, the school decided that you can't pick up your child unless you get in line in your car, and only the first car in line can pick up their child, developing a traffic jam out into the streets. These people sit in these cars like a bunch of sheep, telling these people when you can pick up your child. The child doesn't belong to the school. It belongs to the parent. Now, one guy who has had the guts to get up and walk inside and get his child, if you watch the video, he was never belligerent. He was never raised his voice. The only thing he didn't do was kiss that cop's butt, and the cop ended up arresting him for disorderly conduct. While everybody out there sat in those cars and let it happen. And as far as I'm concerned, they're either a bunch of sheep or a bunch of cowards. And it's time for the people to get up and take a stand and stop letting the people who think they run this government and don't work for us get away with violating the Constitution. Not only is that an unlawful arrest, it's treasonous, it's unconstitutional, and it's kidnapping under the law. They have no right to hold your child against your will. And it's about time people start doing something about it. Because all this talk is doing nothing. It's time to get up and do. So if you're listening to this radio show and you call yourself a conservative and you call yourself an American, get off your butt and start educating people. It's time. Because we're running out of time real fast. And that's all I have to say on that, but I want everybody to hear that. Because from here it's starting, and I am doing that. I have been doing it for a long time, and a lot of people that work with me have been doing it for a long time, including David and people like you, Jackie. And this isn't directed at you. It's directed at the people that are sitting out there crying and doing nothing. And there's a lot of them, and you know it, and we all know it. So it's time to get up and start doing something.
Well, here's something that you can do. You can take these tattlers. I can send you a bundle of tattlers, and you can go to that line where people are lined up to pick up their child and hand each one of them a tattler.
All right. Well,
that's a great idea.
That's a great idea. And if we have people in Cumberland County listening to this, get a hold of Jackie and get those tattlers. And Jackie, after the show, David will be glad to give you my address, and if you will send me some, I will get them out to people. I'll get them out to the schools. Believe me, I will.
Well, I just mailed some off today, and I'll be mailing them several times.
I'm not going to give you my address over the air, but when you get off the air, David will give you my address. He has
it.
Send me a bunch of them, and I will get them out to the schools around here in Moore County.
Great. That's what we want.
I also have people down in Lincoln County and Coffee County that will get them out. So if you want to send me a bunch of them, send them down here, and I'll get them done in these three counties. I promise you that.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Jerry. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Jackie, and you guys have a good night. Take care. Bye.
You too, Jerry. Take care. There's nothing more outrageous to an American than an innocent person being wrongly convicted for a crime they didn't commit. Well, we all know sunshine is the best disinfectant. Get some insight into the dark side of the judicial system Tuesdays on A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart on conservativenationmedia.com. Sam and Cliff take a hard look at what happens when the wheels of justice trample the rights of innocent Americans. These are real cases of real people who are actually innocent, but who were wrongly convicted. Join us for A Just Cause Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. You're listening to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. The phone number is 718-305-7176. Jackie, Jerry was talking about that case down in Cumberland. And, you know, I do, in my dealings in our school district here, I do think there are some in the education system, some of the principals and some of the administrators, that do think that, you know, they have more control over our children than what they should have. And I think that is something. We do have to remind them. They are our children, and we have to take responsibility for that. If none of our teachers have enough sense to recognize bad, you know, bias or content in our textbooks that's wrong, then, you know, we got a responsibility to speak up about it. And we need to do just the type of things that you and Lisa and others are doing. And, Your Tattlers, I love that idea of while all those people are lined up there, just go down and hand them a Tattler. That would be a great opportunity.
Yes. Well, you know, almost nobody seems to have been aware of what's been going on. We just seem to trust that educators and our elected officials are doing the best they can for our kids, but it just isn't so. And I'm not even sure it's their fault, a lot of them. They've been indoctrinated in it themselves. Most of these young teachers, like the ones that reviewed the books at the state level, I was in the room when they met the publishers with their grievances, which were all more procedural and very not at all on content. They were all quite young, but they looked like they were the age where they might have children in school themselves, and it just shocked me that they wouldn't be more concerned about what concerned us. But I had a conversation with a friend of mine on Saturday evening who had just gotten off the phone with one of our legislators who is close to the governor and the leadership in Tennessee, and she said that they were shocked when they found out through the senators who had had the hearings about what was in the books, that the leadership didn't know, and that they were very concerned. Well, that was at least encouraging, because I wasn't sure that they didn't already know and just weren't going along with it.
Let's hold them to that they are concerned. And I guess we'll find out how concerned they are this session. And I know the issue is going to come up. You saw the letter that after the last committee meeting from Senator Gresham and Senator Bell in reference to this issue. So we know there's going to be some proposals out there. But that's not necessarily going to be in time to prevent the purchase, because the books were already approved. They've already approved the majority of these books. And
well, that letter asked them to rescind that approval, but there's no obligation to do that, and it puts them in a very difficult position if they do it, because then what do the local districts have to choose from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, is there any reason, even though there's issues with the current textbooks, is there any reason they can't just keep those? Do they have to purchase new books?
I don't think so. I think they could just use supplemental material to fill in the gap between the 6 years that has passed since those books were issued with current events and whatnot. I think they could continue to use those books. However, there's always the question of whether the publishers can continue to furnish them. Those are things that we, you know, that we're novices in this process, so we don't know what kind of stumbling blocks there are and what kind of problems exist. But you know that money is always the issue, and I was at the school board meeting last week and learned that the federal money is not that big a portion. I think it's under 6% of our budget in Rutherford County is federal money. And I really think that we're going to have to learn to get along without federal money to be free of this indoctrination.
And I think it would be worth it to give every bit of it up. Jackie, you've already stayed longer than I asked you to, but can you stay a little longer? Can you stay till after the break?
Sure.
Can you stay for a little while? All
okay.
right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go away, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Tennessee.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor.
Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside Tennessee on Conservative Nation Media. I'm your host, Dave Vance. The phone number is 718-305-7176, and we're talking to Jackie Archer from Textbook Advocates. Jackie, first off, I want to thank you for staying with us as long as you have, because we've covered a lot more ground than I thought we were going to be able to get through. And I want to try to leave the last 10 minutes or so for you to get any point across that you want to. I think you guys had a meeting earlier in the week or last week. Is there anything about that anybody needs to know, or future plans for the Tattlers?
Well, yes, we do have a strategy in place, and I would like to give your listeners some information about how they can get on board, either with ordering some Tattlers or volunteer to be a county representative, because Our strategy from here on out, of course, is to get the Tattlers into as many hands as possible, and not necessarily teachers and educators, because the Tattlers are designed to get an emotional response. So we really want to get them in the hands of parents of school kids or other citizens, you know, who will become agitated and aroused enough to maybe make some phone calls or, you know, go before their school officials and tell them that something has to be done. But the other part of our strategy is we're trying to find representatives in every one of the school districts in Tennessee to help guide them to the information that we have spent hours collecting with these book reviews, to take to their school officials, the curriculum director and the teachers who are selected to do the reviewing and make these selections, so that they can use they can take advantage of the work that has already been done. So we're putting together a packet. It's not a thick packet. It may just be one letter directing people to the website where all the information and all the tools exist. On the website, textbookadvocates.com. Any of the listeners can go there after this broadcast, textbookadvocates.com, and look. All of the reviews are there, and all of the county links are there, and some of the county representatives that we already have lined up. But we need people who will put out Tattlers, and we need people who will take this information to their school officials and try to get them to use what we have learned and not just go through the same sort of process that they did at the state level and automatically adopt these books.
Now, how many Tattlers have you already distributed? Any idea?
It would be hard for me to say, because I'm sending out bundles of 200, and you know, I don't know if those 200 are sitting in someone's back seat or if they've actually been
right.
handed out, you know. I had 15,000 printed, and half of them are gone from me.
Wow.
A lot of them, I think, are in hands. And I hope that anybody out there who has them that will go to the grocery store, go to ball games, go take them with you wherever you go. I hand them to strangers. People don't seem to mind.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities out there to put them out. Now, we Lisa was at our met with our Tea Party group a couple weeks ago, and she left us about 150, and we distributed all those. And I just got another 200 from you, and we're going to do everything. And I'm trying to work with some officials at the Board of Education here in the county to you know, get this to them and get other information, especially your website. Now, are there people from your group? I mean, I know we had Lisa out here, but are you guys speaking in different places as well on this? Have you had a lot of different events?
We've spoken at quite a few, and we're getting more requests, and we're more than willing to come and speak and bring tattlers with us. I'm an elderly lady, I guess you would say, so I'm retired, and I don't have a job that I have to go to, so I have a little more free time to go wherever anyone would welcome me. And so that's a possibility. Lisa loves to do it, and she's very good at it, and she makes arrangements to do as much as she can. She does have a full-time job. So, and there are other people in other parts of the state. We have people in Fayetteville down in the south, and we've got people in the Memphis area. And we're starting to get some good people in the Knoxville area. So, you know, and Dave, you too are going to know as much about all of this as we do. And so you'll be a great spokesman for your part of the state. I think we are going to be speaking on the 3rd, probably Lisa, on the December 3rd in Clarksville.
Really?
Yes.
Which we're at in Clarksville?
I think it's the public library.
Okay, the 3rd, what time?
Good question. James Kirshner, I can give you his contact. He's the one that made the arrangements. He's
okay.
A retired military in Clarksville and very passionate.
I need to get up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will try to make that one if I can. I mean, Clarksville's just right up the road. But, yeah, Lisa came out here. She did an excellent job. She is an excellent speaker, does a great presentation, and knows the material inside out. And, you know, we're still working on some things here. I talked to you earlier about possibly getting before our board, and I got to get back in touch with them. The person I spoke to seemed like it was a definite possibility, and I haven't heard anything since, so I've got to follow up with them and see, because, you know, I think when parents read these things, when you get this in the hand of parents and grandparents, for that matter, I think they're going to be concerned.
Well, I will tell you this about the tattler. There's a lot worse things in the reviews than are in the tattler, and that may be shocking, but we did that tattler early when we fully expected the commission to approve the books. We got it ready early, and it was Lisa and I put it together, and we had only the resources from the books that we had reviewed. It was later on that when other reviewers sent in their material that we found out that there was much more egregious material than what we had. So I really urge people, if you really want to be shocked, to go to the website and read some of those reviews, especially Hal Round's reviews. His are just magnificent. He is so so well read and so well educated, and I felt like I got an education just reading his reviews. They're so well written, and he did quite a number of them. So go on online and click on some of the world history books and read Hal Round's reviews. Because he really found some pretty bad stuff.
That's textbookadvocates.com, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Jackie, I appreciate you coming on the show, and great information. Hope to have you back. Appreciate what you're doing, and thank you for being with us.
Well, it was my pleasure, and I thank you for allowing me to share this, Dave. I look forward to coming again sometime.
Well, we'll sure have you. Thanks again. You have a good night and take care.
And happy Thanksgiving to all.
happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I want to thank all of our listeners out there. Appreciate you for tuning in. Take care, and we'll be back again next week.